Good morning, everyone. Warm welcome to everyone here. Let's continue in a moment as we pray together. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We continue to bring those that are sick before you. Lord, you know what we need, what our families need. And so before we even ask, we know you know. But Lord, it seems as if you take pleasure in us asking you. Lord, help us to understand your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. So our text this morning is found in Acts chapter 2, and we're reading from verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they will prophesy. I will show them wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Now I need to ask, I'm sure Elmer asked the question, what day is today? I think by now you all know it's Pentecost Sunday. Did everyone remember Thursday as Ascension Day? Or did it pass you by? Indication? Who knew it was Ascension Day? Some of us. So today, I mean, I like to say it's not just another Sunday. That today is the day to remember and rejoice in the birth of the church. When I say the church, I'm not talking about a church building or an institution, but a spirit-filled, global, and courageous people. And this celebration is not about cake and candles. It's about fire and breath, wind and power. It's a day to remember that the church was born not by human invention, but by divine invasion. And so the Holy Spirit came not to decorate the church, but to activate it. And so we remember how Jesus told his disciples to wait. Not to go out and preach. Not yet. Not to organize or strategize, but to wait in Jerusalem for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then on that day, the waiting is over. And really for us, the waiting should be over as well. And so my first point is that the Spirit of God, the Spirit comes in power. Not for performance, but for purpose. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like rushing wind fills the room. Tongues of fire rest on each one of them. And they begin to speak in different languages. It's loud, it's wild. It's confusing, and it draws a crowd. And so we can rightly ask the question, what is happening here? The one thing that is apparent is that the gospel is not bound to one culture, one tongue, or one nation. The Spirit of God made it possible for every person there to hear the good news in their own language. And then Peter stands up and he explains. And he says, this is what the prophet Joel spoke about. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, sons and daughters, young and old, servants, men and women, all people. In other words, not just the spiritually elite, not just men, not just adults. Not just Jews. And so we see that Pentecost breaks down barriers. It breaks down barriers of age, of gender, of race, and class. If you've ever felt left out, Pentecost says you belong. You have a voice. In other words, if you've ever felt as if your voice doesn't matter, you have a voice. Pentecost says you have a voice. If you've ever believed that God only uses certain kind of people or certain kind of person, Pentecost says God uses all kinds of people. The other point, the next point, is that the Spirit turns spectators into witness. So first we see the disciples waiting. We see them from waiting to witnessing. And then the first point I made was that the Spirit comes in power, not for performance, but for purpose. And now we see that the Spirit turns spectators into witnesses. If you look from verse 14 onwards, we see that Peter, who once denied Christ three times, is now filled with the Spirit and starts to preach. He doesn't start with a clever story or a great quote. He starts with the Word of God. He says, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, here Peter is no longer afraid. He's no longer hiding. He's bold, he's clear, and he's Spirit-filled. And this is what the Spirit does. He turns spectators into witnesses. Those who watched from a distance now speak up. Remember when Jesus was led to the cross? Some followed at a distance. Those who were hesitant now proclaim. And through that proclamation, we see that the church is born. And it's the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit who hovered over creation in Genesis 1. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now breathes on the disciples, comes upon them and empowers them to speak. But I want you to pay careful attention and notice that the Holy Spirit doesn't just come to cause a scene. The Spirit comes to equip the church. Not to make them performers, but witnesses. And so we see ordinary people, fishermen, former tax collectors, doubters, those who denied Christ, they are now proclaiming the glory of God in different languages. In fact, in many languages. And so we see that the wind and fire are not just signs of excitement. Actually, it's signs of transformation. And the Spirit turns fear into boldness, silence into speech, and waiting into witness. And this morning I want to remind you that that same Spirit is given to each one of us. And so you don't need to have a degree or a platform or a title to be used by God. The Spirit is for everyone who belongs to Jesus. And that means you are not powerless. And you are not overlooked. And if you feel so, start doubting your feelings. In fact, you are empowered. You have been empowered. We go on to Acts 2 from this 5 to 13. We see that the Spirit includes all. We see a breaking down of barriers. Firstly, the noise attracts a crowd. We are reminded that people have gathered in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven. And they're shocked. Why are they shocked? Because these are Galileans speaking their language. So again, what is happening here? Well, one of the things we can think back of and know is that Pentecost is busy reversing something ancient. Do you remember the Tower of Babel? It's a count in Genesis 11. Their human pride tried to build a tower to heaven. And God scattered the people by confusing their language. But here God brings people together through language. For me, one of the things that I clearly see is that the Spirit doesn't erase diversity. In fact, it's something which is used, which is embraced. And I believe the same is true today. The Spirit of God is still at work, helping us speak, helping us live, and helping us love like Jesus. And so you may not feel eloquent. You may be nervous or unsure. But the Spirit equips you to be a witness. To be a witness in your family, in your workplace, and in your neighborhood. One of the things is that sometimes the most powerful witness is not a loud speech, but a quiet life of integrity, a life of hospitality, one of compassion. I think one of the things that very often, let me just ask a question. How many people here are Presbyterians? One hand up. Come on. One Presbyterian? But we often have labels for ourselves. Do you notice anything different about me today? Yes. Maybe I should just give you context for that. It becomes necessary for me to do this because this is the first time ever I've worn a collar. We're setting aside Elder Johnson from the Bequeni congregation as an evangelist. And so I'm going to put a collar on him. He's going to have a robe as well, a preaching gown. He's going to be set aside as an evangelist. Now some of us may say, but how important are these signs, these symbols? For some of us it's not that important. Clearly it has not been important for me. The clerical collar has not been important for me because I haven't been wearing one. And it may not be important to us, but to some people it is. But I want to believe that we are Pentecost people. That we are people of the Spirit. Yes, we may be Presbyterians. But ultimately we're God's people. people that are led by God's Spirit, moved by God's Spirit. We should be. You see, the Spirit didn't just come then. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is here now. And whether you feel goosebumps or not, He's here. And so I want to say that the wind still blows, the fire still burns, and the gospel that has been entrusted to us still speaks to every human heart. And so we are Pentecost people. And that means we are called not to comfort, but to mission. Not to isolation, but to inclusion. Not to fear, but to faith. And so I want to ask you, are you living like the Spirit of God is in you? How would you respond to that question? Are you open to being used in ways that the Spirit of God would determine? Or have you closed your mind to certain avenues? Have you said, that is not for me? So allow me to ask you, will you let the breath of God fall on you again? Will you let the breath of God fall on you? The disciples were there in Jerusalem waiting. They know what they were waiting for. From where we are, having witnessed what happened to them, we know. We know the promises. We have access to the Scripture. We have opportunity. And so I want to ask, will you let the breath of God fall on you? Will you let the Holy Spirit come upon you? Live in you, have His way in you. Sometimes there's an expectation that, well, after a service like this, we should come forward and there should be a laying on of hands and an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen that work very well. And people get enthused for a little while. And there's some signs. Some people even fall over. But what is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit? We see that when Peter preached, 3,000 were added to their number that day. Clearly, I know it's not about the numbers. But what is it about? How will your life change when you allow God to have His way in your life? And so I need to ask you, if you say, well, I am available, but you've still got, there's still certain things that are not for you. Why is that? What is holding you back? I think one of the things we need to, you see, God doesn't just force Himself upon us. He won't. The disciples were waiting. The Holy Spirit didn't come on anyone who was unwilling to be used of God. And so if you want to be used of God, make yourself available. Look for opportunities of service. Let's pray. Maybe you're feeling spiritually tired. Maybe you've been waiting. Maybe you've forgotten that the Spirit of God lives in you. I want to encourage you, let's receive the Spirit of God again. Come, Holy Spirit. Set our hearts on fire with your love. Breathe new life into us. Fill us with the strength to live and serve faithfully. Give us boldness to share Christ. Allow us to be gentle in our love. Faithful in everything that we do. So that Jesus Christ may be glorified in and through our lives. Lord, as we continue to reflect on your word and allow you to minister to us. Would you help us, Lord, to remember your calling and your purpose? That in everything that is happening in our lives and the world, that we won't forget who you are, what your kingdom is about, and what your purpose is. And that you have called each one of us to join you in that undertaking, the restoration of humanity and of this world. Lord, fall afresh on us again. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lead us in your ways. Open our eyes to opportunities. May we see people as you see them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing our final song, if there's anybody who needs to be added to the House Andrew Murray group, please speak to me or send me a WhatsApp and I will add you to the group. And if there's anyone who's not on the church WhatsApp group and would like to be added, please let me know about that. If you don't want to be added, it's fine.
Before we sing our last song, I just want to give the notices. There's going to be a wedding anniversary on Wednesday. Julie and Leon from Scotland. On the 22nd of June, after the communion service, we will be serving soup and bread. If you are going to stay for the meal after that service, please let Moira know so that we have an idea of the numbers to cater for. If you can bring a pot of soup, please also let Moira know. On Wednesday, 6 p.m., it's going to be a board meeting too. Our last song.
I know this is last minute, really last minute, but if there's anyone who would like to go with me, and I know some of the elders are going to Bekweni, and you've got the time and you'd like to do that, you're more than welcome to join with me. You can either get a drive with me, or we can come back, or we can drive together, that's all fine. So I'm going to just be outside and just make your way to me if you do want to go with. Let's receive the grace of the Lord. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.